بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The Jews and the Christians both went astray. The reason for the Jews going astray basically was they were overconfident of themselves and they claimed some type of special privileges. They felt that we are the privileged class because we hail from the family of the Anbiya. Thousands of Anbiya alayhi salam were just in the Bani Israel. So they felt to themselves that we come from the family of the Anbiya, so we are a privileged class. And because of this they felt that we all are Jannatis and Jannat is meant exclusively for us. And they went on in this whole fabricated thought of this. It was a faked up thought, a faked belief. They felt that nothing can penetrate our hearts, قُلُوبُنَا غُلْف, because our hearts are well secured, they're guarded. Anything that is alien won't come into the heart. And only that which is right will come into our heart. See? And the Quran speaks pages upon pages. لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي. Some of them just lived in dreams and fancy thoughts. They had some fancy thought, this person will intercede for us and that thing will work out for us and what. Like how we have, unfortunately, a class who dwell upon these type of things, just on thoughts, on feelings, thoughts, dreams, etc. What existed in the Bani Israel will be here as well. Same type of feelings, same type of ways that were in the Bani Israel, you will find amongst our people as well. Because we don't know much, therefore we take things for granted. Amongst our own people, there's so much of belief, wrong belief, and wrong type of i'tiqad and aqidah upon Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi as well. So all these are fancy thoughts and dreams concocted, made up just to mislead the ignorant. Like we got it amongst ourselves, and the Bani Israel also had those concocted beliefs, and that was mainly pioneered, engineered to mislead. That we can reap and we can take the money out of the ignorant and mislead them. Take the money out of them and mislead them. They had such weird beliefs. We have, amongst our people, there are people that have got such weird beliefs, or even Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi, that there are many that believe that he is in the control of the universe, na'uzubillah, controlling the universe. And they concocted one story that one woman came up crying to him that I've lost my son, died just now. So he says, I can't do anything about that. So no, if that was the case, I would have never come to you. Just then, Israel al-Islam is coming with a whole bag of ruse. You know, ruh, it got a whole bag of ruh, he's just taken away people's ruse, so he's going. So Sayyid Sahib summoned Hazrat Israel al-Islam and asked him to surrender the ruh of this woman's child. So now this is the command of Allah Ta'ala. We'll have to. And Israel Islam is not listening. So he just took away the arwah, the bag of the arwah, and all those that were dead all became alive. So Israel Islam, Malakul Maut, is complaining to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, chhod do usko, ye hamare pyare hai. Now this is all concocted beliefs. And the thing is that we don't understand that we have got these things amongst our own ranks. Such weird concocted beliefs. And this is what then leads the Arabs and many other people into believing that tasawuf is a thing of shirk and disbelief. Whereas without tasawuf, the iman is incomplete. Without tasawuf, iman is incomplete. Tell me, which other group talks about cleansing yourself from hasad, pride, riya, malice, etc.? And he says it very clearly that if you don't love your brother, then your iman is incomplete. You can't perfect your faith until you don't love your brother. Now, who works in this direction? Concentrated work. One is, I just speak about it over the mimbar. But a concentrated effort to bring about these type of qualities, who does it? They do it. A concentrated effort to turn you away, disincline you from the world, and make you inclined towards the hereafter. Who does it? They do it. Right? Now, these people that are here to complete the faith, if we call them bidati, or wrong, mushrik, etc., then definitely we are gone off. So there's an extremism. One is that group that says that anything and everything goes, any concocted belief is going, every river is going to the ocean, and this type of concocted shirk beliefs. See? So there are some that will believe in anything and everything. And there are those that go to the other extreme to say that all these groups are mushriks, right? So the in-between is that we look at that tasawuf that conforms to the Quran and the Hadith. And then we take it because of one or two persons' inconsistency, we don't brand the entire group. Right? Now there may be someone that is living in Saudi Arabia, for example, in Hijaz, and he's doing something that is totally wrong. Right? Someone may be shaving the beard and he's there. So do we say that all the Arabs are all corrupt and all fajirs and kuffar? Do we say that? No. The good we will accept, and the wrong we will definitely condemn. The wrong. Wrong is wrong. We will not condone or cooperate or conform with the wrong. We'll agree with the right, but we will reject and condemn the wrong. It can be an Arab or a non-Arab. So the one group that went off was this Jew, and I explained that they had concocted beliefs. They concocted the whole thing just to conform with their dreams and their ideas, and so that they could keep go on milking their people and misleading them. See, in order to be able to milk them, they need to mislead them. They have to give them some ideas. Don't worry, you didn't do your namaz. All right, Allah Pak will make maaf. Allah Pak will do this. Allah Pak, you are jannati. That person feels appeased within his mind. No, my sheikh or my buzur told me this much, so everything is for me. In Durban also we had this type of situation. One person running a cinema and gambling den, some years ago, got a big gambling den going on, cinema on haram activities, and now he's got his peer coming up, and in a few days he dies, so the peer sahib is there at the cinema and all the gambling thing going on, and suddenly the peer sahib laughs aloud. Why are you laughing? No, I just saw so and so, the owner of this bioscope, is gambling den, and he's in Jannah, he's enjoying himself. Wah wah, nare takbir. So you get all these extremist views. You see, you get the extremist view because of the extremist view, you will not say that the whole group is wrong. In every group, in Jamaat, you'll find someone is doing something irregular. Right? The madrasa, you'll find same. See? Someone doing something irregular. Now, do you say that the Jamaat is totally corrupt? No, you won't say that it's totally corrupt. You won't say the madrasa is totally corrupt. That person needs to be weeded out. He either weeds out his habits, or the Jamaat or the madrasa need to weed them out But we will not say on account of the evil of one or two people that the whole group is wrong. Otherwise there won't be a group, there won't be a people who's got no wrong in them. Everybody. If they were the group, imagine they were people that had falsely claimed that they are Anbiya. So now will you say, na'uzubillah, that all the Anbiya are corrupt, na'uzubillah? Can you ever say that? You can't. They were that Musaylama al-Kazzab. Then you get the Qadian, right? Then you get Dajjal. All these people will claim Nubuwwat. So now because of these people's claims, do you say now that, na'uzubillah, this group of people are all corrupt? You are corrupt if you say these things. Yeah. So there need to be a little bit of a balancing and adjusting here. This world is a mixture of righteousness and irreligiousness, and you will have this mixture going on. It's a place of great confusion. This world is a great place of great confusion. In the majlis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where you're getting Abu Bakr and Umar, you're getting the Ra'asul Munafiqeen, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, same majlis, sitting right in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Isn't it a confused bag? It's a mixed bag here you get. And now you have to work it out. You have to use your discretion. And now that is your sacrifice. You have to work it out and see who's right, who's wrong. And you'll have to take that path after that. So the Jews went wrong because of this. They felt that because we subscribe or we belong to this lineage, this family, and everything we do, everything is maaf. We go in Jannah. Jannah is reserved for us. It's our prerogative. It's our right. Then the Christian went wrong because the Christian basically he felt that Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, atoned for all our sins. He went onto the cross and everything is maaf. You can make zina, you can make adultery, everything you can do. Isa alayhi salam went there, he's a kafara for everything, everything, all. Everything is cleared. They want to really give vent to their temptation, right? They wanted to give vent to their pride. Who? The Jew. We are this notable, conspicuous, outstanding, right? And as a result, you find that up till now, that mizaj and that temperament still is with them. They want to corner the monopoly, monopoly the whole economy, right? Don't you see it happening? They want to monopoly the whole economy, the stock market. They want to do it. They want to do it, right? So they are a chosen class, and that is why you have to be a Jew by birth. You can't be a convert Jew. You see that it's a belief of its own, it's a concept of its own, that you can't get into Judaism, can't be a convert Jew. You have to be born to be a Jew. And the Jew can do anything. He can be a kafir, he can be an atheist, he'll still remain a Jew. Now it's a very concocted belief. I don't know if the is this rocket scientist also can get some type of explanation to that. You can be a total atheist, but you can still be a Jew. And then you can go to a church, become a Hindu, whatever, you can still be a Jew. So this was the reason for their corruption. And the reason for the corruption of the Christian was that he was a slave to temptation, right? And religion is coming to block off all the temptations. This is haram, that is haram. This is haram, that is haram. Right? Everything is haram. So now we need to find a vehicle to legalize everything. What we found? We found the ideal thing, Jesus. Jesus, the Savior. He atoned for all the sins, everything. Now you can do haram, beer, womanize, everything. Everything is haram. Why? You will do it, Jesus will stand for you. He'll bail you out. You see what diversity they went both. Now Islam is the one that's come in between. But leave out all this. This corruption of yours, this concoction of yours, leave it out. And don't be a slave to your temptation. Man aslama wajhahu lillah wa huwa muhsinun. Bala man aslama wajhahu lillah wa huwa muhsinun. So the standard, Allah Pak is giving you the standard. What you need to do is aslama wajhahu lillah. The one thing you need to do is total submission, undivided, unreserved submission, total loyalty is give it to Allah Ta'ala. Give it to Allah Ta'ala. See, is negating that temptation belief that the belief of the Christians, right? It's this Islam is eradicating and eliminating the belief. Total elimination of the belief that he died for your sin. Now you can carry on. You are a free passport to do what you want. Right? That whole belief is knocked down, is demolished. Man aslama wajhahu lillah. See in this one word. What they're saying, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَرًا. You have to be a Jew to get a passport. No Jew, no passport to Jannat. Right? You must be a Christian to get a passport to Jannat. No Christian, no passport to Jannat. So either this way or the other way. Both extremist views. You see that? Here you are a total slave to your temptation. Here you are totally slaved to your lineage, your pride, and your arrogance. So Allah says, leave all these things here. Man aslama wajhahu lillah. You just submit yourself. Bal millata Ibrahim hanifa. Ibrahim alayhi salam's religion, the religion that he had propagated, was free from all these type of irreligiousness, injustice, and everything that was irregular, ambiguous. It was on a straight, clear, right path. That's millata Ibrahim hanifa. Leave this extremism, that extremism, come out of the extremism completely, and then you will be right. See? In this whole verse, Allah is showing the reason for man going off. either it is pride, arrogance, where someone thinks too much of himself, or alternately it is that he wants a scapegoat for his temptations. No, but that Mawlana said is right, man. Why are you coming out with new fatwas now? That Mawlana said is right, man. Don't make deen so difficult. Right? Make so difficult you make it. Huh? So you want a temptation, you want a vehicle for your irreligiousness, for your temptation. Man is born with temptation. You can't rule it off. Temptation is in your tabiat, it's in your nature. You can't rule it off. So Allah Ta'ala says, Man aslama wajhahu lillah. You give yourself totally to us. Millat Ibrahim Hanifa. No ambiguity, no irreligiousness, no crookedness. We don't want all this crookedness. Leave all this diversity. Come onto the path of moderation. Where we go wrong, many of us, where we go wrong is we get into debates and discussions that is above us, you see. We either look into a book, into a debate, into a discussion that is above us. And you get into that, now then to get yourself out of it is very difficult. To get into it is very easy, right? You see a trap, and now to get into the trap is very easy. But come out of it now, the more you try to come out, the more you get stuck into it. Like this, you know, you get this mix it and Facebook, whatever. So to get into it is very easy. They'll tell you how you must get in. You get a free call in one center, call whatever it is. You get into it very easy. The shaitan pioneers this. He engineers this. He engineers this for his clients. You come into it and it's so cheap, you know, it's so cheap. And you just have to play around one, two times. One, two girls you'll mess around with. After you can come out of it, just to get the taste of it, you know. Otherwise, you won't know what is youth all about. Shaitan will, he will meditate to you. He will make up your mind, you see. He will relate to you. He will read to you. He will explain to you. He will give you bayan. Oh, this is the advantage. This is the advantage. This is the good. So until then, you say, oh, let me just go and experiment it once. Now you experiment it once, and you got hooked onto a girl, whatever it is. Now for you to come out of it, it's practically impossible. Now you can't come out of it. Now you don't want to phone her, but she is phoning you. You don't want to phone her, she's phoning you. Hmm? Now you got it. You got that message there. Now, you know what she'll think. You know, sour. And how? Why must we just break relationship like this? Why to break her heart and her feelings and all that? So Shaitan will create all these feelings. And that is why this feeling is not the standard. See, this is a great, great mistake in tasawwuf many people make. I got this feeling here, I got that dream, I got this type of... That's this Jewish. Tilka amaniyum. The Quran Sharif. There isn't anything more constructive than the Quran. Why do we go to this feeling? One person came to Imam Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and he says, you know what? Hazrat, one thing is coming to my mind. A little bit of a learned person. So, that learned person, he gets a shaitan also that is like him. What? He gets a person that is shaitan that is learned like him as well. But he has taken a liking for some woman, right? Now, his nafs is telling him, but you know what? Making love like this is haram. So now, that ilm that he's got, that knowledge that he's got, is pioneering and legalizing it. Alright, just imagine that if this woman that you love, if she was divorced from her husband, right? Husband had divorced her. You love this woman, right? Mrs. Z, whatever it is, you love her, right? Now, she is divorced from her husband. And she spent her iddat. Then you sent a proposal, right? And your proposal got accepted. And then you got married after that. And after you got married, then you were in seclusion. And then when you were in seclusion, how you would have enjoyed her? Say now, and when I think like this, I start getting an enjoyment and excitement. Now, isn't this permissible? I'm doing it in the permissible way. You see how the shaitan, how he engineers the whole thing, the whole plan is being worked out, that conspiracy is worked out. Now, these are very selected servants of Allah Ta'ala. Mujaddid, etc. They are like geniuses. So Allah Ta'ala inspires their heart. Murha told him, alright, if that what you have pioneered for yourself, if anybody else pioneers it against you or something, immediately that person got a jolt. He said, alright, if someone, that means you're saying he does it against me, that means if he does the same thing to my wife, that he thinks that I am going to divorce my wife, my wife's iddat is over, that he proposes, and then after proposal, the marriage, and then after the marriage, then he's secluding with my wife, and he's going to enjoy. Hey, forget this, I could never accept this. So now, until he didn't get you, you could not understand this. But before this, how you meditated the whole thing, how you planned out the whole thing. Hey. So you need a shaitan to be like that, to be able to mislead you. And that is why I say that this is not the standard, these feelings and whatever. This was the Jewish style. The Jewish style, they felt that they were an exclusive class. They were a class that was very, very special. They were a class that was selected. You know, they are a class that are meant exclusively for Jannat. So this ego of theirs and this pride of this really smashed them down, finished them. بَلَّعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ Allah says, بَلَّعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِكُفْرِهِمْ You say that you are a protected and a guarded class, Allah Ta'ala's curse upon you. Now imagine where this pride took them to, where this ego of theirs took them, where this arrogance of theirs took them to. So the bottom line, the essence, the very root, the very reason for their going astray was this ego. Remember, Allah Pak, He deals with His servants differently. We are not the ones to question Allah Ta'ala, why are you treating me like this? Hazrat Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, Mulana Rum Rahmatullah Alayh, he speaks about one great Shaykh, Allama Sarzazi Rahmatullah Alayh. Very great saintly person, and he was going through some spiritual phase. I have to relate this incident, but please don't ever think that you are in this phase, please. You don't think he was in that phase, he was in that situation, right? Now here, anybody must suggest anything to us, we were taking it. They wouldn't like that. You are doing anything, then you go and discuss it with your Shaykh. Whoever you are taking advice and instruction from, immediately, before starting it off, you go and ask the person, are you doing it, and then you come and ask the Shaykh. No, don't do that. You don't know whether you're coming or going. You don't know where to take instruction from. You're taking instruction from this person, or now that Buzur told me this, or this Shaykh told me this, and this person told me in the Jamaat. Now, where are you taking instruction from? You take instruction from one person. You don't get confused. But now you're taking instruction from 20 people. He told me do this and he told me do this. Now where do I do? What do I do? So he was going through some spiritual condition. And he couldn't contain himself. That spiritual condition was so powerful that he couldn't contain himself. And in that feeling, he went to a 500 meter mountain and he went and dropped himself. So what's the use of this life? He went to drop himself. So I'm telling you, please, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I'm relating this incident that there is a moral behind it. There is a lesson behind it. Right? It's not for you to imitate this person. Every person has a different situation. Right? He has a different situation, and in accordance to his situation, something will be prescribed for him. Are you an incident here and there, and then you try and imitate, then this is not the right thing, it's not the way. The doctor can prescribe something for one patient, it'll work. The other person, he'll go into Sakrat. Doesn't it happen? He's allergic to something, and the doctor prescribed it. No, he can lose his life. So anyway, he went and dropped himself from the top of the mountain. Came down, not a scratch on his body. Nothing. Absolutely right. Even the second time, third time, nothing happening. So now, he's got that type of relationship with Allah Ta'ala. So he's complaining to Allah Ta'ala, na marne dete hai, na jeene dete hai. You don't allow me to live, you don't allow me to die. The condition that I'm going through, at least take me away or let me live. One of the two, you're not letting me live or let me die. So Allah Ta'ala's answer came to him. But who asked you to do this type of thing? We didn't ask you to do this. You went and prescribed something for yourself. This is the problem. See, this is that fine line problem is the problem. You prescribe things for yourself. You suggest things for yourself. This is what Allah doesn't like. You find out, what must I do? I'm going through this phase, I'm going through this condition, what must I do? Who asked you to do this? So right, then what must I do, Allah Bak? He's got the relationship. You see, everybody can't talk to Allah Ta'ala like this. This is called maqam and naz, you understand? Idlal. Some people, they can say these type of things and they will be tolerated for what they say. A small child will hold the father's beard and he will pull it. The father says, hey, you see my child? He will still love the child, right? Give him a smack, he'll take out his topi and drop it also. But the big 25-year-old child tries and pull his father's teeth, give him a smack, what happens? Father will give him two kicks and throw him out of the house. See? So you're different and he's different. See, that's maqam naz, maqam idlal. It's a different position. It's a different phase that the person is going through. You'll treat him accordingly. You're not in the position, don't try and imitate. This is really a genuine problem. Now, that buzurg is doing this, let me do it. You're not in the same category, you're not in the same bracket. See? So anyway, Allah Ta'ala tells him, you go and beg for 12 years. 12 years you must go and beg. Now he's going door to door begging. And everybody's reprimanding him, throwing insults to him, you know, disgracing him and embarrassing you. And you're begging around. What's wrong with you? Where's your brain gone to? 95% of the people are insulting him and disgracing him and embarrassing him. And someone is giving 10 cents, 5 cents, or it came on a Thursday night, now Thursday, Jumerat, you know, Bari Rat, so let me give something. I want to give someone one slice of bread. Now imagine now a notable person, respectable person, and he's getting one slice of bread here, and some chutney this side here. And 3/4 of the time, he's getting insults. Right. After the 12 years is over, now Allah Bak tells him, now you must spend upon people. Allah Ta'ala, tu mujhe de, to main do. If you give me that, I will give. See, he's talking to Allah Bak. It's a different person in a different bracket. Now I have to tell you these things because I'm just going to tell you a story like this. You will not be able to relate. See, these conditions that people go through, most people don't understand. And when they don't understand, then you can't appreciate the person for what he is. But the biggest mistake, I say, is you do things of your own. That's the biggest mistake. You don't understand the path fully, and you want to do things on your own. And then you want things to work out accordingly. And it doesn't work out accordingly, now you're in a problem again. You're in a quandary again. Now, Allah Pak told him that you spend, he said, we'll give it to you, all right. And then the doors just start opening, millions, and said, you must spend. And he's spending, every day he's spending, millions he's just spending. Until Allah Ta'ala gave him the position that was desired of. So this mistake, where it stems from this point, where we do things of our own. We fall into situations that we're not supposed to get into. We're not supposed to be getting into a situation, getting into an argument, getting into a debate, getting into a book, etc. Now you read one book here, one book that side, without the suggestion, advice of your superior, and you're reading a book. Some situations, most things that are contained in most kitabs are right, but you will understand it without the context. When you understand it out of context, how are you going to apply the thing? It doesn't work out for you. Then you get a different situation, you get another situation. Where you want to be more smart than what you are. You know, in India, 90-100 years ago, there was this Nawab system, you know. They had the Nawab of Bhopal, Nawab of Hyderabad. Alhamdulillah, there are a lot of Islamic color in them at that time, talking 90-100 years ago, until that whole system was abolished. So there was one Mawlana there, Mawlana Abdul Qayyum Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, and people would ask him, what is the dalil for this? What is the proof for this? What is the proof for this? Now I want to show you how a Mawlana will conduct himself. So he says, you see, you're asking for proofs, etc. This is for a new Muslim, convert Muslim. Nowadays, more respectful, revert Muslim. Okay. Playing around with words, right? Revert and convert, whatever. So he says, you know, we are Muslims from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So as our ancestry grows up, one had learned from the other until it goes up to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. My ancestry learned from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then they passed it on to their children and so forth and so on until it came to us. So we learned it. We don't need any additional proof. Yeah, that convert Muslim, now he needs to get the evidence, he needs to get the proof, he needs to get everything in place. We've got it firsthand, it's from our home. What we need additional proof for? Yeah, you're a convert Muslim, you're a new Muslim, you need to go and look for all that. Yeah. Now, this is a way just to diffuse the situation. What? It's a way to diffuse. Because there are many people that want to get into discussions that are beyond them, see. If it's a student, right, the person who's studying Deen, and he wants to know, and he's of that understanding, or that level of understanding, this you will reason with him. Like how medicine now, right? A layman, we come and debate with a doctor, but why are you using this medicine and not this medicine? And the doctor is a busy doctor, say, bye, please go, you know. If you know what's good for you, just go away. Because the doctor knows, he's so busy, yeah, that to give him an explanation of this, it'll take him 2 hours. That why are we doing this and how are we doing this, etc., you know, all the concepts and all the theories that go to make this type of a treatment, it will take him 2 hours to explain. In 2 hours, I can make 3,000 rands. He's looking at it differently. And he says, I want an explanation. Yes, but if the doctor is a medical lecturer also, is a lecturer in a medical school, and a student had to ask him a question, he will readily explain it to him. Because now you are a different person, and he's a different person. He needs to know the theory because he's going to represent the doctor afterwards. So he needs to know it in perspective. He needs to know it. And that person is an ordinary layman. He doesn't need to know it. He just needs to know what is his treatment, how he must take the tablets and go on with his life. So similarly, every person is not in the position to understand every reason. You see, these previous ulama-i kiram, they had a lot of foresight, a lot of understanding. And they know how to conduct themselves, how to apply themselves in different situations. The same Mawlana Abdul Qayyum Sahib, one, two incidents of his, I just want to share with you. That Zamana was the Zamana of Nawabs and Begums and all that. So he had to be at the Begum's place, like the Begum is like the queen of the place. So some work, whatever it was, work was over. So as he's coming out, and he went and straightened the shoe of the Begum. The Begum say, you know, this is very bad, man. An alim and a person of your caliber, I supposed to be straightening your shoe, and you did the other way around. So he says, no, no, no. You are worthy. You are worthy that I do this service for you. You are of the position that I do this service. So the queen asks, why? So he says, you know what? I've been lecturing in this town, Hyderabad or Bhopal, for approximately 20 years. And I've been lecturing, against this custom that exists in India, that they don't get widows married. You know, it's an Indian custom that a widow, she's not married, she's not remarried. Her husband passed away, now she must just live till the end of her life, she must just live like that. Just in our neighborhood, there's a Banya, very wealthy doctor. His daughter got married some years ago. And around the age of 20 or so, her husband died in a motor car accident. Now she's living with the in-laws, she's not allowed to marry for the rest of her life. Are you telling me a girl young like that, 19, 20, and she's not allowed to marry? Doesn't she have feelings? She has the feelings, she's got everything in her. Now she's not going to do it the right way, she'll definitely do it the haram way. Isn't she going to do it? So Islam is a natural religion. Yes, you must carry on with your life. It had to happen, it happened. So it's not the end of life. I must carry on, continue with your life. Do it the halal way. Why do it the haram way? Now, this is a force of custom. If someone does it, they look down upon the person. They look down upon the person. Now, you can't do it. Whereas, it's a genuine need. Like how, you know, I was explaining to someone. We are just digressing, you see. We are getting our daughters, see, to the schools and madrasas. Even though it is a madrasa, but we are sending them for higher advanced studies. And we, for a moment, we lose cognizance of the fact that they are girls and they got feelings in them. They come of age at about 9 and 10. These girls, they come of age at that age. And everything goes faster in them. The feelings, desires are much more greater in them. Now, then it concern is a matter of concern. Now we feel, hey, she's doing Mishkat Sharif and she's becoming Hafiza and all that. I can't let her ruin her studies. But simultaneously is these feelings that are bubbling within this girl. What must she do? She's progressing in her study and she can't go on expressing her feelings that are going within herself. I'm talking of realities, right? I'm not talking from my pocket, right? I'm talking of realities. Now she's studying on that end, whether it's a school, whether it's a university, whether it's a madrasa, wherever it is, but she's got very strong feelings. And you're not allowing it to happen. She doesn't want to bring embarrassment to the family, she doesn't want to bring insult to her people. Now, there will be all the type of wrong going on after that. She will be either meeting secretly, if she can't do that, then mix it and whatever. All that harm will be going on. And they will go on this type of things for hours every day. Every day they'll be doing it. How much must they suppress? Now it is for the parent to think, we went through the same frame of mind. We had gone through the same condition that the child is going through. How was the feeling in us at that time? Feelings were very high. Now for that moment when we come 40, 45 and we blind ourselves from that type of realities, obviously we are doing a very great disservice to ourselves and to that child. Child is of age now, 16, 17. Now, she needs something in life. She needs a company. She says, no, I'll do this and do this. And then now, she's 16, 17. Now, then she's got a proposal. And then you think to yourself, no, it's a good proposal. Let me work the proposal. But she's not been trained to look after a home. Imagine she's been going to madrasa, school, university. She's used to going out of the house. Suddenly now, she must live within the confines of a house, a thing that she was not trained to do. Prepare food, live within the confines of a house, not go without the permission of the husband. She's not trained for this. All she was trained for, go home, go madrasa or school, and do the homework and assignments till 11 o'clock at night. That was she was trained for. Now suddenly you want her to live within the confines of the house. Is this a natural life? It's unnatural. Really, it's unnatural behavior. You know, maaf me if I tell you, it's like monkey see, monkey do. And then 95% of the same girls thereafter, now they are married, they won't be doing their door. I know first-hand incidents, they've become Hafiza, finished, mashallah, a lot of shock, a lot of enthusiasm. 1 month passes, they're doing one quarter sipara door. 1 month and a quarter sipara door they are doing. Was this why they became Hafiz for? So we need to understand and relate to realities. See, it's realities, and we need to relate to these things. I just digressed. This is Mawlana Abdul Qayyum Sahib, rahmatullahi's incident. So he told his begum, this queen, as he's coming out, he's straight in the shoe now, because he wanted something from her, you see. So he says to her, that you see the influence that you have got, I don't have that influence. You have to just make one royal decree that all the widows must get married. Otherwise, there's serious consequences. And if anybody complains that we don't have the means to do it, you have got a Baitul Mal, you have got a treasury. You can, as they can be supported, they could be assisted from the public treasury. Now, he found that occasion. You see these people, this Buzurganadin Mashayikh, they try and look for the occasion to get the message through. Because they know, from the complaints they receive, they know the type of wrong, illicit relationship that's going on. But then they will look for solutions as well. Now, if I go on talking about illicit relationship, but I don't talk of solutions, it's not fair. So I'm showing you a solution. The father needs to think, when the child has reached about 10, 11 years of age, 12 years of age, 7 years time, where I want to see this child, and how I want to see this child. I need to then constructively prepare this child. She's going to have that feelings. I need to prepare her. She must be making a beautiful home. The home must be a home of beauty. I don't want her to come back and complain to me that husband is saying this and this and this and this, whatever. I want her to make a beautiful home. But she'll be able to make a beautiful home if I follow the procedure. Yeah, we don't follow the procedure. Don't open the shop. Don't work. And don't put that type of effort. And then after we want the profit to come at the end of the month, does it happen? We're not servicing the shop. We're not following the procedure and we want to see the 12. It doesn't happen naturally. It doesn't happen normally. Miracles do happen. I don't reject the reality and the belief of miracle, but it's not a rule. It happens occasionally. The real thing is follow the realities. It's a procedure. You want the child to be taking a certain position at a certain time. Follow the procedure. She'll come there. She'll make a good girl. She'll make a good wife. Right? Now, here the queen had to make the royal decree. And immediately, within that week, there's thousands of nikahs. Nikah here, nikah here, nikah there, nikah everywhere. But do you see that procedure? And now, they keep that type of relationship. And the relationship is not for their personal benefit or advantage. It is for the advantage and the promotion of deen. So what we are getting at, that we get into discussions, we get into programs that is beyond our reach, beyond our reach. And really, we don't need this. All we need to know is we need to have a path to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what a Muslim needs. What else he needs? Does he need anything else? He needs a clear path to Allah ta'ala. He doesn't need all the extras. All this extra, yeah, that extra, that's another path, and the third path, and the fourth path. By giving me a clear path, this is beyond me to understand all reasoning and arguments. You will tender an argument, someone will bring a better argument than what you bring. I will be left with the rest of my life in arguments. Now, if someone is studying medicine, for example, right? Someone says, no, this is a medication. Someone says, no, this is an alternate. Now, if you want to carry on like this for the rest of your life, you're just going to understand all the theories. You just need to take one system and carry on with your life. It will work, inshallah, with the help of Allah. It will work. But you know, he said this, that person said this. You learn 50 arguments, 50 different procedures and different ways. You adopt one you feel that is right, you adopt it and carry on. Otherwise, you will not complete this journey. So, ya khamaha ulajna, and to get involved in these debates, arguments, etc., really is that person's work who doesn't want to do any work. Who doesn't want to do any work, normally he gets involved in this type of situations. But the one that wants to do some work, he doesn't get involved. Adi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he advised Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, at the time that he was departing from Makkah Mukarramah, coming back to Medina, coming back to India, that Mulya Ashraf, kisi se uljo mat, that don't ever get into a debate, don't get into a discussion. Like what's happening now, we're listening of things that are happening, whether it's learned people or unlearned people, something's coming on the internet, something's coming here, and then we get embroiled in the whole thing. And we get embroiled. Now then, when we get embroiled, then what happens? Our own deeni commitment gets affected, because our heart is affected now. He's like this and that person, hey, but he's a holy man. He's a learned person. How could he be like this? How could he say such a thing? But in the whole process, what happens? In the whole process, our deeni sentiments are definitely affected. See? So we don't really require that. We got someone as a guide, just carry on with him. This other side talks and side arguments, leave it. Just leave it. Whoever is indulging it, you're not going to stop him. You can't stop him, let him carry on. But why spoil your path on account of this person here? Why do you get yourself involved in this problem? So Hari Sahib Rahmatullahi explained to us more, Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, if someone gets involved with you, then you don't get involved. And if he is getting stuck into you, what you must do is just explain to him how you understand it and then leave it. And then he illustrated this whole thing. He says, one person came to the barber and he told the barber, you know, just pluck out all the white hair from my beard. So barber, what he did is he shaved his entire beard and he placed it before him. But I don't have the time to pluck out all the white hair. You do it yourself. You do it yourself. Just free me of that responsibility. I'm not in that position. So why must we get stuck up in that type of that person's problem, third person's problem, fourth person's problem? Really, the problem in this is twofold. One is when we begin to hear too many people's stories and too many people's discussions, what happens is there is a point where we will definitely get indulged in ghibat. Someone's bad talk is coming up or the other. Someone's bad talk is coming up or the other. You know, I tell you, by rather you enjoy yourself over a braai fleece than eating someone's meat. Enjoy yourself, get the friends, all that, get do braai fleece. But don't eat someone's meat. Right. There's so many things to cheer yourself, carry on that way, but please, for the sake of Allah, don't talk of anybody. Nowadays such people like that. People like that. Either kibas, otherwise there's no spice. In life there's no spice. You're not talking of any fight, any trouble. There's no spice. Leave that. I mean, when we get indulged in that, now the one wrong is this, that we're getting involved in ghibat. And remember, lahmul ulama'i masmumun. You know, you can make ghibat of others, but if it's learned people, then their flesh, their ghibat is poisonous. It's very, very serious. It's very serious. It's worse. That ordinary person, you made ghibat of him, is bad. But the person a little bit learned and you made ghibat of him, it's even worse. So rather just leave it. But this is not negotiable, leave it. If he is a Jahannami, then Allah will deal with him. And to the contrary, if it is that he makes tawbah, Allah forgives him, that is not my business. That's between him and Allah Ta'ala. Leave that. This is not negotiable, leave this. He knows it. He knows the masala. If he's doing wrong, he will correct and rectify himself at some point in time. But as far as I am concerned, I have got my necessary commodity for the road. Have I got my necessary commodity? I've got my podcast, I must carry on. I mustn't get stuck into this. So the one thing we'll get involved in is ghibat. The second thing we will get involved in here is that we will feel to ourselves that we are the chosen class, we are the best class. See these people, how they can fight. You know? So there will definitely be a degree of pride that will enter our minds, our hearts. And we will be looking down, we will be smashing them down, and we'll be thinking ourselves to be a privileged class, that see, we are so good, we don't fight, we don't get involved into this type of talks, etc. So do we need that in our lives? We don't need that in our lives. The third thing that will happen is we will definitely become complacent of ourselves. Are we doing too much? These people, they don't know whether they're coming or going, and we will definitely become complacent of ourselves. So leave them, let them carry on. If they were jahils and they were ignorant, all right, our duty was to go and advise them. But they know the masail, they know what is right and wrong. If they're involved in it, inshallah, there'll come a time that they will come onto the right. But why must we get involved in that? Why should we get ourselves involved? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi, when he heard of some differences, then he says, for those people that were engaged in that difference, you know, says, that is a blood that Allah Ta'ala has saved our hands from. That was blood, you know. It was some type of an internal fight. Some person lost his life, you know. So he says, that was a blood that Allah Ta'ala has purified our hands from. Why should we soil our tongues now with their respect? Allah Ta'ala purified our hands. Now we're going to talk about that. We're going to soil our tongues. So we leave that. That's not Not for us. Leave it out. So what we need to do is look for ways how to diffuse, how to end this problem. There's a problem here, there's a problem there. How do we get out of it? Look for a way. And 9 out of 10, Allah Pak will show you a way how to get, how to come out of that problem, how to find a solution to the whole thing. Well, Rum Rahmatullah speaks about the same thing. Can I switch on that light? Well, Rum Rahmatullah speaks about the same thing, although it's a little bit derogatory what he speaks about, but he's explaining the same point. He says, man was playing with the flute, you see, and he's playing away. In the meanwhile, his ear broke, slipped. So he took the flute and he put it behind the back. He says, now you want to play, now you carry on. In other words, what he was getting at is, if you want to talk now, do the talking. I was doing the talking just now. I was doing the playing, right? And you were not interrupting me. But it seems like now you want to interrupt me, so you carry on now. Leave me alone. Let me carry on my work. So this is the type of mentality, you understand? We want that type of excitement. We want that type of fight. We want the type of mentality. We want to have all these type of things. And then we feel that satisfaction. Whereas in the process, we are destroying and ruining our akhirat. In the hadith it is mentioned, one person will appear on the day of Qiyamah, and he will ask Allah Ta'ala, "Oh Allah Ta'ala, but I had so much to my credit. I did so much of work, namaz, Quran Sharif, charitable work. I did all these things. But I don't see any record of this." Allah Ta'ala will tell him, "It's true that you had done all these things. But together with all this, what was going on is you were making a lot of ghibat as well. So for that ghibat that you were doing, everything is getting wiped out. Everything is getting washed out." See? That is why in the same verse, same surah, Allah Pak speaks about the Bani Israel. Tilka ummatun qad khalat. The ending of this surah, this sipara. Tilka ummatun qad khalat. Laha ma kasabat walakum ma kasabtun. The people that are past, they're gone, finished. They will get the fruit of their works. You will get the fruit of what you worked. Right? In other words, what this surah is saying, that when you're going to enjoy the fruit of your work, then be more concerned about yourself. You won't be concerned about these people here. Now the same thing applies to us, that when we're going to enjoy the fruit of our efforts, that we be more concerned about ourselves than worrying about this person, he's doing this and he's doing this. And like what's going on. Everybody should see the internet, what's going on. Go and listen on the radio, what's happening. And in the meanwhile, we get involved in a problem. In a fight, we get involved. And when we get involved in a problem, we're losing track that I need to meet Allah Ta'ala just now. Am I prepared? Why am I getting absorbed and sucked into someone else's problem? Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.